Hello and welcome to The Second Row. I'm Letitia, also known as Lady P, and I'm so excited to have you join me this week on The Second Row. Thank you to everyone that's been sending me messages and commenting on the videos and the YouTubes and the podcast. I truly, truly appreciate your support. It really, really means a lot to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I truly appreciate it. So today I have a special guest doing a little something different today, you guys. I have a young man joining me today. He is William Spears. He's also my cousin. He's cousin Will. So I'm excited to have him here. He is the husband of Pastor Lisa Spears, Reverend Lisa Spears. And so I wanted to have a conversation with a first gentleman, or first dude, as he calls himself, first dude. So this is something different, something new. But we know that in ministry, there are many female pastors. And so I wanted to get the perspective from a man that is married to the pastor. So thank you so much for joining me on today. I appreciate you taking the time and coming to talk with me.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to start this off as I do all of the conversations that I have. What are three words that your friends would use to describe you?
Three words I guess they would use to describe me is dependable.
Okay.
Trustworthy, and I'm there for them.
Okay. All right. So dependable, trustworthy, and you're there for them. So reliable. Yes. They can rely on you.
Yes.
Has it always been like that? Has that been your characteristics always, or was that something that you...
I think that's been pretty consistent because growing up as a kid, I used to play a lot of sports.
Okay.
And I was the car driver.
Okay.
So I would drive all of my friends to practice.
Okay.
Back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Drove school bus back in the day when kids or students could drive school bus.
Right. So some people don't remember that time.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, so that tells you my age.
Okay.
So a lot of responsibility there. And then just going in through my college days, I was a resident advisor.
Okay.
Which required a lot of responsibility, built a lot of friends. In a lot of different organizations, I've been in leadership roles.
Okay.
Very dependable. And then lastly, I have a passion for mentoring young people.
Okay.
Helping them to be a better person.
Okay.
And so I think that's why folks rely on me and they trust me on my assistance with them.
Okay. Okay. So mentoring young people, what caused you to want to do that? Where did that start?
Yeah, well, I think it started when I was at a young age. My dad was a law enforcement officer.
Okay, yeah.
My mom was a school teacher.
Okay.
And my dad constantly, the community, he gave guidance to them.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she was what I'd call those old school third grade teachers.
Okay.
Where you hated to go to her class, but once you left years later, they loved Mrs. Spears.
Okay.
And so they always had a form of mentoring people in the community.
Okay.
So as I grew up, organizations, I had the opportunity to be in different mentoring roles. And even today, I mentor students at Coastal Carolina University, the University of South Carolina, the School of Business. My fraternity, we have what we call a botillion every year.
Mm-hmm.
Where we mentor young people as well. So it's just a passion and something that I enjoy doing.
Okay.
And I get the thrill of it when I see them later in life.
Yeah.
I like to think that I had a little small nugget of their success.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And much needed.
Yes.
And much needed. So
absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for
absolutely.
Doing that. Okay, so you are married to the pastor.
I'm married. That's my boo.
That's your boo.
Your cousin.
Hey, boo.
Yeah, your cousin, my boo.
Yeah.
Yes, I am married to the greatest pastor in the world, Pastor Reverend Lisa Spears.
Okay.
She pastors the greatest church in the universe, Bethel AME Church in Dillon,
South
Carolina.
In Dillon. Shout out to Bethel. Yes, awesome, awesome. So when Lisa came to you and said, first, I think the Lord has called me into the ministry, and then into becoming a pastor. What was that conversation like?
Well, I'll just simply say the end of the story was what took you so long to tell me? Because when I met her shortly thereafter, she always acted like a pastor. And, you know, we knew she was called. And when she finally told me, you know, that response was, why did it take you so long tell me? So I was perfectly fine with it. You know, I never thought I would be married to a pastor. That's something I never envisioned, but it's been a good thing thus far.
So have there been challenges as being the first dude? And if so, what are some of those challenges you think that have come up?
You know, I can't really say challenges, maybe opportunities, but not necessarily challenges.
That's a good word.
You know, in my 6 days a week, I am a leader. You know, I am giving direction, and people are coming to me with challenges, and I'm helping them solve problems. So, really, the opportunity is transitioning on Sundays, where you know you're not necessarily the leader; you are the follower. You are the driver. I'm the driver to Dylan every Sunday back and forth. Or I am to do whatever I've been asked to do. So, you know, you have to transition to from that leadership to being led, which is, you know, for some people that may be a challenge, but really I look at it as an opportunity. Because truly on the Sabbath, I get to rest. I'm not, I like to joke. I said I look pretty on the second row wearing a hat and a white suit, but I don't wear a white suit. The opportunity has been really just to support her. And that's always a learning experience. Helping her where she needs help. And so I'm still growing and learning on how to be a better support person.
And so in that supporting her and finding, I guess, finding your place where you fit, what are some of the opportunities that have been presented to you and how do you, you know, fit into those roles?
Well, I think a first gentleman and a first lady, it's a little different because you know, at least in the AME church, we have the Women's Missionary Society, and it's traditionally led by the wife. Well, I don't think I'm going to lead the WMS.
No, group. I don't think so.
So, you know, you have to find your role. You know, sometimes that's a challenge. But what I try to do is, like I said, I like to say I'm the first dude because I always joke because I'm cool. So I'm the first dude, not the first gentleman. And so I think the members of the church, they look at me just like a regular person. The guys look at me that are there as a regular person. We're talking about football. We're talking about whatever. I'm joking with the ladies about different things as well. So I just try to fit in and do what I need to do. So, you know, if it means recording the offerings off the envelopes, I'll do that. Whether it means cooking a ham for homecoming, I'll do that. So I just do whatever I'm asked to do.
And I like we were talking, or you mentioned earlier, for first ladies, I think sometimes it's hard to find that spot where they fit, because especially in AME church, you know, you go to a church and it's already established. People have their roles. They know what they're doing. And then the pastor gets there and the first lady gets there and it's, where do I fit? How can I fit in? And so it could be a little even more, I guess, different when the pastor is the wife and the husband kind of comes in and is like, okay, where do I fit in? But like you said, you're a cool dude. And so you can, you fit wherever you can, whatever is needed, right?
I think one thing you have to think, and this for anyone, man or woman, service above self. So at the end of the day, all of us are there to serve the Lord. And so you find out how you serve, and it's not about you, it's about your service. And if you practice that, you're going to find out, or the Lord is going to tell you where you fit. So, you know, that's how I look at it.
So, when it comes to your son, because y'all have a son. Yes. That's Thomas. Hey, Thomas. How has that been with you guys, you know, trying to help him and set balance with, mm-hmm. with him, as well as, you know, being the leaders of the church and being the leaders of home? How has that been for you?
I think it's been good. Thomas, okay. The good thing is Thomas enjoys church.
Okay.
He has always been active in church, whether it's been playing the keyboard mm-hmm. or playing the drums. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny you mention that, because he said last week, you know, since he's just graduated from college, yeah. so he's been spending more time as he's doing a gap year before he starts grad school.
Okay.
And he said, you know, Dad, this is one of the first times I'm not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. And the way God works is that there's a gentleman, he's trying to restart the men's choir.
Okay.
There. And Thomas said, you know what? I'm going to do that.
Wow.
And so, you know, in most cases, you have to kind of push young people to do things. Mm-hmm. But he has always been willing to participate in church. So it's for him, it's been very, very easy. You know, he's a typical young person, just like all of us.
Right.
We make mistakes and mm-hmm. we learn from those mistakes, mm-hmm. but he enjoys church, so it makes it a lot easier.
That's good. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. So kind of going back a little bit, did you grow up in church? Was that always
yes.
something? Okay.
Yes, I grew up St. Paul AME Church
okay.
in Clawson, South Carolina.
Okay, okay.
Better known as the little church on the side of the road, a friend to everybody.
Okay.
Grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. I was on the junior usher board.
Okay.
I was on the junior choir. I called myself the backbone of the choir.
Okay.
Because I was the choir president. Couldn't sing a lick, but uh-huh. I could make a joyful noise.
Yes,
the Lord.
Yes,
so,
yes.
you know, back we were just teenagers, just okay. from different schools, and we would have a good time because mm-hmm. we would be talking about sports and everything, and participating in church to the vacation Bible school.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
a lot of good memories at okay. St. Paul. AME
okay.
Church.
So growing up in church and all the things. And so none of this was new to you.
No,
none of this was new to you. Participating in church and being active. None of this was new to you.
No,
okay.
No, that's it was definitely every Sunday mm-hmm. That the church was open. We were in church.
Okay. Well, that's good. So leadership that's what you do. That's who you are. And so the transition, and you mentioned earlier, the transition from being the leader to being led, mm-hmm. Was that a challenge? And you kind of, I guess you said not challenge, an opportunity. Do you think for some men that it could be a challenge to them because they are used to being in charge and saying, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it. And then to reverse those roles on a Sunday or even or Tuesday Bible study. Do you think that for some people it's hard?
I think it is.
Okay.
Because if you don't have that service above self,
right.
You're gonna have a challenge
okay.
because that ego is gonna
yeah.
get to you and you think, hey, you need to still take my role.
Okay.
But that is not, you know, that is not the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my opportunity is being a better person to support
okay.
My wife.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I have some opportunities to improve there.
Mm-hmm.
My personality, I'm a, it's kind of strange. I'm an introvert, but in some cases I'm an extrovert.
Okay.
And so I don't always show emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a pastor, as you know, they need a lot of support.
Yeah.
And so that's an area, you know, an opportunity for a first gentleman mm-hmm. to really gauge, you know, what needs that your wife actually have mm-hmm. and how can you help her with those needs.
Okay.
So that's a personal thing that, you know, many years I'm still working on. I'm
right.
not quite there yet, but still working on it.
Right.
Still working on it.
Is there support, I guess? I know, like you said, AME Church, they have the WMS, and I know they had the women's ministry, the first ladies ministry, right? I think I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah, but they have something called MSWAVO.
Okay, MSWAVO, okay.
Which is is for the minister spouses, widows, and preacher kids.
Okay.
So that is an organization that is supportive, and I serve on a committee within that organization, and they meet fairly frequently.
Okay.
So yes, you do have a common bond, but one of the things in my case, there's a limited number of first gentlemen.
Right.
So
okay.
You have to take that into consideration that the needs are not always the same. But there's an organization that, and there are other gentlemen that I know that are husbands.
Okay.
That are in the church that, you know, we have conversations.
Okay. That's good. Yep. Because as first ladies, you know, and I talk about this often, that we need to have that support, because there are things that first ladies and first gentlemen go through that other people don't understand.
Yep.
They wouldn't understand because they're not in that seat where their spouse is also the pastor. So there's some things that we go through that everybody may not understand, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's good to have that support, have somebody to talk to and go through life together and figure this out.
Yep.
What are some things that you would tell a young man who's now sitting in the seat as the first gentleman or the first dude? What are some things that you wish someone would have shared with you, or what are some words of advice that you would give to them?
I think, one, be humble.
Okay.
Respect the church.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you may be the first gentleman, but you can't necessarily think that you are above anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're part of a team.
Right.
Now, you have to be in what I call an agent of the church. So people are going to look at you. People are going to observe you. So you always have to put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you always have to be, humble, and you have to respect the church. You have to be engaged. And what I mean by that, not necessarily outgoing, talking, communicating, but sometimes you need to listen.
Right.
Because listening, in many instances, you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times people are trying to give you a message or give the pastor a message. And, you know, the pastor he or she is doing whatever. And when you can sit there and observe and you say, Mr. or Mrs., they have a concern, and, you know, maybe that's something you need to, you know, to be cognizant of.
Right.
Just because of observation.
Mm-hmm.
So you are really a second set of eyes.
Yes.
For the pastor, because he or she is really doing a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But you can kind of give some feedback guidance to him or her as well.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Something that just came to me, and so I know for some first ladies, we want to protect our husband, right? Mm-hmm. So many want to protect their husbands. And if they see something's coming up or something's going on, like you say, be a second set of eyes, you want to protect your husband. And so I wonder what it's like as the husband when you see some things and you know it's going to affect your wife, because, you know, as a man, you want to protect your wife, and then she's your pastor. So how do you figure that out and go, you're not going to talk to my wife like that, but also I need to stay in my lane. How is that?
Well, thanks to good Lord, I've been blessed in that regard, because the churches that she has pastored, she has had very strong relationships with those churches.
Good.
So I really cannot think of an instance where there was maybe confrontation.
Right.
Not the right word, but distress. And when they have been minor things, it's pretty one-sided, and she's been able to address it.
Okay.
But obviously, if you have that dude that, is kind of stepping on a bounds, you have to let him know that, hey, I'm the husband.
Right.
So, you know, say it in a Christian and respectful way, but, but at the end of the day, look, I'm the first dude.
Exactly.
Now. So, you know, you need to slow your roll.
Right.
But thanks to good Lord, we have it. I have not had to encounter.
That's awesome. But it just, you know, you think about it could be, you know, some people get in those situations where you have to set the boundaries. And that is another topic that has come up is knowing how to set the boundaries for you and your family. And just knowing, hey, when it's time to take some time, we got to take some time.
Right. Now, one thing I definitely, when they're like meetings or what have you, I try to stay out of those.
Right.
Because, you know, the end of the day, a meeting, you want engagement. So you're not necessarily going to have everyone that agrees. Mm-hmm. So you always say you need to debate, deliberate, and decide.
Okay.
So disruption or different opinions is a good thing.
Right.
Diversity of thought, I guess is the right word. So, you know, I try to, you know, stay out of that. As long as it's respectful, there is nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But the key is, in this day and time, we don't always practice respect the way we should.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with having a different view, but be respectful in that view.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I've said in previous podcasts, when my dad was pastoring, my mom would not go to any board meetings.
Yeah, I don't either.
She would not go.
I don't
because
either.
She felt like you said, that's a meeting. A diversity of thoughts. It could get a little, you know, just and there's certain things she just didn't want to be a part of. And so she would just not go to board meetings. That was just a decision she made.
The same way. Yeah. And even I used to avoid the actual church meetings.
Okay.
And then I think Pastor alluded that, you know, she wanted my support
there. Right,
so
right.
Started going to those. But yes, board meetings, I don't even have that in consideration.
Right. So, okay. So we're going to do a little rapid fire. Just some quick questions.
Okay.
You tell me, I'm going to give you a question and you give me the first thing that comes to mind. Okay.
Oh boy.
No, it's nothing
that's
bad. I promise
fun.
You it's going to be fun.
All right.
nothing bad. Okay. Favorite vacation spot?
I have to say, actually, Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the beach. I love the beach, too. Yep. Favorite food?
Barbecue.
Barbecue. Where's the best barbecue spot?
Scott's Barbecue.
Come on.
Brunson's Crossroad, right outside of Hemingway, South Carolina.
If you know, you know. Okay.
And if you don't know, you better ask somebody.
You need to ask somebody. Come on. Scott's Barbecue. Yes. A legend. Yeah. Again, if you don't know, you need to go check him out. Where is it again?
Brunson Crossroad, right outside of Hemingway.
Yes. Yes.
Near Battery Park High School.
Right. That's right. Least favorite food. What's your least favorite food?
Least favorite, liver. I'll eat anything but liver.
Yes, I agree.
Don't eat liver.
I don't like liver either.
Yep.
okay. Favorite place to shop?
Favorite place to shop? Any sporting goods store.
Okay. Oh.
Well, I'll take that back.
Okay.
Sporting goods and one of my weaknesses are office stores like Office Depot.
Really?
Because I have a fetish for two things. Okay. Fetish for backpacks and a fetish for Yeti and Yeti type cups.
Okay.
And Lisa gets on me because I have all these cups and I have, I don't know if she realizes this, but I have different levels of these cups.
Uh-huh.
I have the daily cup that I take to work.
Okay.
I have the cup where I'm going someplace special I use.
Okay.
And then I have the cup for meetings. So
okay.
There are different levels. And I, in my car right now, I can show you, I've got a case full of cups. When I go to Starbucks, I have a cup for Starbucks. And all that stuff.
Wow. So about how many cups do you
have? Oh, man. I got one in today from USC. I'm a Gamecock.
Yes, he is a Gamecock
fan. I'm a Gamecock.
All day, die hard.
If I had to guess, I'm embarrassed to say this, I probably have about 20.
Wow. 20 cups. Okay. Yeah. Not wrong with it. Yeah.
But backpacks, like briefcases, stuff like that. But I like sporting wear as well.
Okay. So favorite college team is
South Carolina
all day.
Gamecocks.
All day.
Oh yeah.
NFL.
Dallas Cowboys. Okay. I like the Carolina Panthers, and neither one of them are doing great.
No.
But both of them.
Yep. Basketball. College.
Gamecocks, anything.
Okay.
Anything college.
Okay.
NBA, I grew up a Dr. J fan.
Okay.
That's my favorite player, so I'm a Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you played sports in high school, so?
Played football, basketball, ran track.
Okay, wow. College as well?
No,
just high school.
Just high school.
Okay.
Intramurals in college.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you gave your advice. Oh, one more. Favorite scripture.
Ah, that's a good question. Okay. Favorite scripture.
Or one of your favorites. I put you on the spot.
You put me on
the spot. Oh my goodness.
I'm not gonna give you one.
Okay.
I like the Bible.
You like the Bible. Got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So no favorite, just the Bible. You just know you have multiple. Okay. Good. All right. Well, I thank you for joining me today. It's been really good. I wanted to get the perspective of the first gentleman, the first dude, because like I said, there are many female pastors now. And that's a different perspective. That's a different area now with first dudes and first gentlemen that are there. And it's different because you are the leader, you know, 6 days a week. You at the house, you're the leader. Yep. And so it's an opportunity to get in that space and to know, okay, this is where I fit when it comes to the church and when it comes to my wife being the leader. So I appreciate you taking the time again to come and hang out with me on the second row.
Well, I thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. And I thank all of you for joining us today on the second row. It has been indeed a pleasure. Please make sure to like, follow, and share. We are on YouTube. We are on all podcast platforms. That's Apple. That's Spotify. Make sure you tell someone about it. Make sure you let them know that we're here every week talking about what it's like to be a first lady or a first dude. You're just people that are married to the pastor. So again, I thank you for joining me. And again, as I say every week, no matter where you are, no matter where God has placed you, remember to accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. I thank you. Have a great day. See you next time.